Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Millwall captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We had the high notes on the park. It was, that's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again. And Millwall are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lucas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable. And that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, for the first time this season, we're recording on the back of successive league victories. And that also ensures that Motherwell yet again will play next season in the Scottish top flight. Busta, welcome along. And as I say, we're recording shortly after the full-time whistle in the Motherwell Kilmarnock game, a 3-1 victory. It's been a struggle this season. That's certainly not up for debate, but a feeling of relief and I suppose an accomplishment in the sense that the players did turn it on when it did matter most.
As you say, 2 wins in a trot, so we've finished as strongly as we possibly could. To be fair, there's still a game to go, obviously, as well. But you know, we now definitely can't slip into any of the bottom two places. So it's relief. I don't really feel like celebrating, to be honest with you, but it's good to actually be able to talk about Motherwell and not think, you know, are we going to Dumfries next season or anything like that. So it's put a wee smile on my face this evening anyway.
It was an exciting night, I suppose. The Aki's game, they were 1-0 down, equalised, they went 2-1 down, levelled up quickly again before losing a last minute goal. So it was always still in the balance. We started well. Unfortunately, didn't see the first goal due to the fact that the queues were that big for entry to these stands. But I thought we took our foot off the gas after what looked like a promising start. Finished the first half pretty well and then came out the traps again. The second half really determined to go out and clinch the game and did it well in the end. The third goal is one of my favourite goals I've seen from Motherwell this season. Granted, again, that we've not seen many good goals or many team moves in the manner that we scored the third goal tonight. A brilliant bit of breakaway football and very well finished as well by Elliot Freer.
Yeah, you see, that's exactly what we were waiting on for that third one. I think, you know, we sort of started to sit in a wee bit and we were just hoping to basically use any sort of pace that we had. I think Ainsworth was still in the park at that point, I'm sure, so I think we were trying to utilise his pace. But as you said, you know, there was pretty decent crowd there, obviously, with the offer that was there for season ticket holders to bring our friends. So missed the first goal like yourself. I was actually standing in the queue and somebody told me Aki's were 1-0, and before we even get into the park, Cameron McHugh had scored. So I didn't even see what that goal was like. I don't think any of us can even talk about that, to be fair. But as you said, we then started to let it slide. David Ferguson had a torrid time, to be honest with you. The boy on the left-hand side was running him ragged. He'd been beat 3 or 4 times. He caught him on the very edge of the box and gave away a dangerous free kick in a booking. And subsequently, he was subbed, you know, 5 minutes later. Ainsworth came on. It was a pretty, I don't want to say disappointing, but it was pretty poor to see Chris Cadden move back into right-back. But, you know, as we know for the full-time result, it's one that worked out well for us. And no credit to Stevie Robinson on that part there.
Yeah, Robinson did act after Ferguson was struggling. I think the back four as a whole were struggling. Jones in particular for Kilmarnock was causing us a lot of a bother. They still went on and hit the bar before the break. That was after Ferguson went off. But yeah, it's a reactive sub. Sometimes I've criticised Robinson for having Ainsworth as his go-to sub, but certainly none of us can complain with Ainsworth's contribution tonight. A fantastic showing. Ironically, he then was subbed off himself, but I think that was perhaps a sign that that was his final bow at Fir Park. A guy that we'll look back on with a lot of fond memories of. I think, for me, he's a player that has failed to fulfil his potential, and if he did hit the heights that he's possibly capable of producing more often, then he wouldn't be here three seasons down the line. But it was good to see him get a nice send-off, a fantastic second goal he scored from the free kick. The good memories of Lionel Ainsworth are the ones that hopefully he'll be remembered for, and not the kind of the disinterested performances that he became slightly notorious for, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a more frustrating player in my 30 years or whatever as a supporting model. Not for me anyway, maybe when I was a wee guy, I didn't really pick up on these things, but to see the things that Ainsworth has done and can do, and then, to see him stop about the park as if he's not got a care in the world, it was, as you say, really frustrating. But I think he came to us and he had a lot of clubs before us, so it's, maybe that was a sign of what he was going to be like, hit and miss, if you like. But as you said, I think he's always going to be remembered for his performances in the playoffs. Even when it comes to this season, people remember it. He started the season well against Kilmarnock with a beautiful chip goal at Rugby Park, and then, as you say, he's absolutely lashed that one in there this evening as well.
Yeah, I think that there was a few standout performances tonight. Liam Holt for the third goal, it's a brilliant show of determination to break through and feed the ball for Elliot Freer. And Freer was another one that put in a very promising performance. When he goes at his man and attacks the byline, it looks like he could be a real asset for us. I think so far his performances have been a bit of a mixed bag, but there's certainly a player that we've brought in that looks like he could go on to big things in a Motherwell jersey.
I hate to use one of the sort of cliches that you always hear in football, but he's a left winger. He's going to be in and out of the game. Well, he's a winger. He was playing the right today as well, actually. But we've been using him as a left wing back as well. Something that he said he's never actually played himself. He wasn't really 100% sure of how it should be executed, I suppose. But he's somebody that I really, really like. I think he's, before tonight's game, he was involved in something like 50% of the goals that we've scored since he came to ourselves. So it was nice to see him get on the score sheet. And it was nice to, obviously, as you said, Molt done absolutely fantastically, put it in for him. And the way he just sort of stepped past the goalkeeper and made it look easy, I really enjoyed his goal, to be fair. And as you say, I hope he goes on to a bigger and better thing, because that will only mean that he's done really well with us.
And just finally, the match tonight, anyway, the usual lap of honour following the game. There was a few players kind of stood out. Again, Louis Molt, we'll talk about him more and more as this podcast goes on, because we've still got to talk about the Accies game. But really lapped up the applause, looked absolutely delighted that he'd played a massive part in securing the club's safety. We would expect a lot of interest for Louis Molt, whether he goes or not remains to be seen, I suppose, but you would say that it's certainly looking more likely that he will be away than he does remain at the club. Beyond that, Keith Lasley spent a lot of time over at the fans, which for someone like Keith Lasley is a very little surprise, but obviously cares deeply about the football club. But another one out of contract. It's getting to that stage of the season we get the Inverness game on Saturday, the guys start to go away for the summer holidays, agents will be looking to move their guys on. I still really, really hope that Keith Lasley's got a part to play next season, whether it be on the coaching side, whether there's a belief there, because to be perfectly honest with Keith Lasley, I believe that quite often he is one of our best midfielders, regardless of his advancing years. He's been a magnificent servant to the club, can offer a lot in terms of experience and guidance to guys like Alan Campbell, who's broken through. The under-20s have got a wealth of talented youngsters there needing a bit of guidance. We've talked about certain players from the 20s that have come up and perhaps not demonstrated the attitude required to push on and fulfil their potential. I think Lasley would be a massive asset there. It's a difficult one because obviously he's now got his coaching badges, he may have aspirations elsewhere, but I think if the club and Las could reach an agreement, then it would be one that would, it would please the majority of our support, certainly.
I think you're right there. There's, it's got to be right for both parties. But I can't really say much more than you said about Laz. He's not only is, you know, is he Mr. Motherwell, basically, he's a fantastic guy as well. We've spoke to him on many occasions. You know, he's always willing to come up and speak to everybody. And as you say, he's more than willing to hang about these sort of lap honours and, you know, basically give it back to the fans what they're giving to him, you know, in a nice way, of course. I'm a bit like yourself, I'd love to see him stay on at Motherwell, whether or not, as you say, he's still a player, whether he's got a bit part to play or, to be honest with you, like yourself there, even these last few games I've been saying, Keith Lasley has been your best midfielder, you know, sure he's got his detractors and, you know, he's as you say, he's getting on a bit now, but the last couple of games, I don't think there's anybody else I would have put in that midfield way. What was clear this evening, but you know, Campbell beforehand and things like that. So I'd love to see Laz stay on at Motherwell. As you said, it's got to be right for both parties. Hopefully, you know, there's a role for Laz, whether even after he does hang up his boots, whether that's this year or next year. Hopefully, there's a role for Laz at Motherwell. Louis Moat, as you mentioned as well, he's got to be attracting interest. He's by far and away our most sellable asset right now, obviously. He runs all day. Tonight's game, for example, I was a bit critical of, when I was talking to somebody, I was a bit critical of the ball just being punted into the corners and Lasley having to chase it and basically wrestle with their centre-halves, you know, the big Ayer and the boy Dicker, whoever it was that was playing centre-halves. He basically just had to chase that ball and try and wrestle it off the two of them. Never gives up. I mean, he's got, what, 19, 18 goals this season for us. You know, that's you can't replace that sort of stuff, so it'll be difficult to see him go as well. It's a question of whether or not we're going to actually, you know, pull in a decent amount of money for him. If, for example, we get a Parsley offers of £200,000, we don't want to be selling him that, because survival, his goals are survival, and, you know, that's worth a lot more than £200,000 to us. So I expect we'll see some decent offers for him, but hopefully it's one of the ones where we can get a decent sale on as well if it does improve.
Yeah, you've got to look at it as well. By all accounts, guys like Marvin Johnson left in a lack of class, for want of a better expression, where the demands were made. He was ready for down in tools because he was that desperate to get away that the club basically didn't have a leg to stand on in terms of you had to let him go because he was going to spit the dummy. I don't see Louis Moat being that kind of guy. He is really taking the club to his heart and, as you say, runs himself right into the ground. He's had to go off the last two games early because I don't think he's got anything left to give. He's just leaving it all out there, and he's been absolutely imperative to Motherwell remaining in the top flight. So if you're going to get rid of him, it needs to be for a substantial fee, as far as I'm concerned, because we're going to need some of that money there to replace him, because you cannot replace 18, 19 goals or whatever the figure is at the moment on a kind of stab in the dark free transfer, it's going to have to be someone that's been scouted out. I hope the club are already doing their homework and trying to find someone that they believe could step into his shoes, but it's going to be a huge void to fill, and it's a concern, I suppose. The other striker who has contributed a great deal, perhaps not the, I don't know, he's a bit of a divisive character at times, Scott McDonald, has played a massive part as well, and I think he's played a massive part in Louis Moult's progression as well. I think,
yeah,
Louis Moult said that in more than one occasion. Out of contract, had wanted to go in the January window, and there was an offer from Australia. Would you see that one as maybe one, if there isn't a move already arranged for McDonald, that might be the case like last summer, where the club are happy to allow it to drag on somewhat with the kind of agreement or the gentleman's agreement that's been in place the last two summers, where if nothing better comes along, then he will sign up for another season. I think he would be a very hard player to replace, and possibly gives that attacking experience. I don't think it's really worked out with Stephen Pearson in his third spell or fourth spell or whatever it is, but I think Scott McDonald, when he puts on the jersey, he always puts in a very good shift, and certainly his goals in his game as well.
Well, that sort of, that ties in a wee bit to Marvin Johnson, Louis Moult, spitting the dummy sort of thing, you know. We've had it before with Scott McDonald, where he wanted to leave, you know, 10 years ago, whenever it was, he was basically selling himself to everybody, Dundee United, Hearts, Rangers, Celtic. But when it came here Saturday afternoon, he still put in the effort, you know, still banged away the goals. So even if, for example, Louis Moult, you know, does say during the summer he wants to leave, and if it doesn't happen during that first window, hopefully, you know, he's got the same sort of character where he'll go out there, he'll do his job, and you know, he'll win a move somewhere. He'll make sure that somebody bids as much as we're asking. I can see that sort of working out that way as well. I think Scott McDonald's gone, to be honest with you. From what I understand, and you know, I think from what we were told as well, maybe even on the podcast, that Scott McDonald basically had to be sat down and pleaded into sort of staying. Not so much pleaded, but you know, just like, just see it at the end of the contract, then you can go back home. I don't know if he's, you know, if he's got his heart set and going back to Australia, but it certainly sounded like it, obviously, when, as we say, I think it was Western Sydney or whatever they're called, or Sydney Western or something, whenever they were, you know, looking to bring him into their Champions League, Asian Champions League team. It certainly looked like he was desperate to go then, so I think he'll go, to be honest with you. I think it's fairly obvious as well, Ainsworth, away. He sort of gave a wave rather than a, you know, a hand up as a thank you gesture. Whenever they singing his name, he sort of gave a wave as if I'll see you again or whatever, you know. So I think there's going to be a few people leaving, and it's all about who we replace them with. And as you say, the one thing, going back to the Marvin Johnson thing again, the one thing that really annoyed me about the Marvin Johnson thing was the sort of timing of it. We were left with no real time to replace him. So I would, you know, if Louis Moult wants to go, fair enough, who can blame him? But I think we have to sort of make sure we've got our replacement, and we can't leave it to the last minute and then be left short again.
Yeah, I think that's imperative that you do leave yourself as much time. And I think it's polar opposites from the Keith Lasley situation, but you do have to ensure again that it's on your own, it's on the terms of the club and Louis Moult. We don't want to be in a situation where we're left selling one of our biggest assets for a reduced fee, or almost kind of having to move him on in desperation. The time to act is possibly coming up very quickly, so it'll be interesting to see if there's business done quite early on in the window in terms of Louis Moult, which I think is obviously our biggest concern coming in this, what is going to be a summer of massive transition, it seems. we'll talk about the Hamilton game, which feels like a lifetime ago, actually, after what was quite a tough night tonight, an exciting night, and I think it was certainly, we can both agree on it, was a much better game tonight than it was on Saturday at New Douglas Park.
Definitely.
It was turgid, to be perfectly honest. A game with both teams battling for their life. And for me, the real positive from the Motherwell performance was that we looked more up for the battle. We scored a horrible goal off of Louis Moult's shoulder. The relief was obvious, and the goal celebrations and the celebrations at the full-time whistle. But how many times have we taken a massive support to New Douglas Park? The expectation levels perhaps weren't too high going into the game, but when you're playing Accies, I think Motherwell fans do expect to get the win. And we actually did the job. It was all about, as Peter Elder said in the podcast a few weeks ago, it didn't matter how we won, it was just all about winning. And full credit to Stephen Robinson and his team, because we got the 3 points that we so badly needed.
When Robinson was appointed, I'm sure he said basically that himself. He said, you know, it's not going to be pretty. We're going to be there, we're going to try to grind out results. And again, as you say, fair play to him. That's exactly what we've done on Saturday. As you says, it was a horrible, horrible game. I can't even really remember many chances other than our goal, the one that Griffiths made a great save from. And I can't really remember anything else, to be honest with you. I hate to keep going on about last eight parks, but that Hamilton, that park at New Douglas Park is awful. I was actually in Pine Bovril reading, you know, the match thread and stuff, and there was actually Hamilton fans agreeing the park was awful. So it's good to see that I'm not winning that one, but I don't think that park alone makes for a pretty game. It's all right if you're Barcelona, you can pass the ball 5 yards to the left, 5 yards to the right for 90 minutes. But, you know, as soon as that ball takes a bounce or a clearance or whatever, it turns the game into absolute shite, to be honest with you. And that's exactly what it was. It was just a complete battle. But as you say, it was good to get that shoulder scarf into the top corner.
Yeah, it seemed to... I actually turned around and questioned what the hell it was. And then the ball just hung in the air and then suddenly dipped into the net. It was the celebrations and there was a particular angle the BBC captured. It's just bodies behind the goal, just a mass of bodies going absolutely bonkers. We so badly needed it. And I know it maybe took to game 36, but I think that is the result that will be remembered for turning our season. I know there's not been that many wins, and that's clearly given us a massive boost going into tonight's game where we got the crucial 3 points. So, yeah, I think winning ugly, we've not really done that this season. Most of our victories have been well-deserved, maybe with the exception of Killie at Rugby Park. Would that maybe be fair to say the kind of only other time I would say that we've won particularly ugly?
I'm sitting here racking my brain as if, you know, we've been winning all season, but Killie at Rugby Park, I suppose, was probably one of the harshest on the opponents. You know, that's obviously where we're down there. We'll get friends who support Kilmarnock, and rather than be sort of good winners about it, I remember everybody was sort of rubbing it in their faces, bar me for some reason. So
which makes us look even worse, given that before the game tonight, every one of them in the pub wishes luck. And, oh, don't worry, we all have our feet up, guys, and everything else. It was almost as if they really kind of wanted us to get the result, or at least ensure that we stayed up. So, yeah, we pretty much showed ourselves up that day, I feel now. But
as you say, you know, it might have taken to the last couple of games in the season, but we finally got the two wins in a trot that every time we won, it was like, can we get another one? Can we get another one? That was exactly what we needed tonight, and they dug deep today, and it was a good performance. And the last two games, it's one of them sugar, one of them shite, but it's 6 points on the board, and that's exactly what we needed.
we'll quickly look at the Inverness game. What we're planning on doing is an extended season review episode at the start of next week. Should hopefully have, when I get my arse in gear and try and organise a few player specials over the summer, but to be fair, by the time we'll get to the start of June, the Betfred League Cup fixtures will be announced, and before we know it, we'll be back anyway for the return of football. Just on a closing one for the last game at Fir Park, Buster, it's always a weird one, isn't it? Because you look forward to through your working week going to the football on the Saturday, and then suddenly it just stops for a couple of weeks, and despite the fact it has been not the most enjoyable experience going to watch Motherwell this season, you don't half miss it when it goes away.
That's it as well. You know, it's the social aspect as well, because although, you know, like me, yourself and Jay, for example, and the rest of the boys as well, we're all pals, but we're at work all week, and then it comes to the Saturday, you know, and if we don't all go to Fir Park, 3 or 4 years will go to the away game or whatever, so it's a social aspect as well. And there's been seasons where I don't see you for 3 or 4 weeks, mate, and I miss you.
I'm very touched by that. So what have you got planned for your summer? In fact, this could really be saved for the end of the season one, rather than talking at 11:05. Inverness and Saturday, it's basically a freebie in terms of free travel up. This should be a decent support to give what could be quite a lot of good servants to the club, a good send-off. As we say, we've kind of talked about it, but we can only speculate just now because we don't know for certain who will be remaining at the club, who will be going. Record the night before Dundee play Accies. I did have a good laugh at, you've got 4 minutes after the full-time whistle that, excuse me, at Accies. At the Accies Ross County game. Dundee are already tweeting about Premiership season tickets for next season. Accies were still lying in the ground warm, and Dundee are already celebrating. already promoting their Premiership status, so good on Dundee for that. But we'll wait and see how that game goes tomorrow night, Dundee versus Inverness, because it could be a significant one for Inverness. And if it came to that, to be perfectly honest, I would quite happily take a defeat just to get rid of Accies.
I'm all one for sportsmanship and stuff, so I don't know about that, but
remind you about that plastic pitch. Get that in your head when you're making this point.
No, I was coming to that as well. Accies fans, you know, when they're over there, they're nice enough guys. You speak to them away in, you know, the tap room and stuff like that, and they're all nice enough guys. So it's one of the things, but some of their players are horrible wee guys, basically. And as you say, the park is atrocious. Two stands, we've got a tent along the side of the park. They've got a double-decker bus at the other side of the park. And, you know, a supermarket, basically. So it's, I don't know about winding, but I wouldn't be dead upset if they went straight then.
And another thing that Richie Foran came on the podcast a couple of years ago and was absolutely brilliant value as well. Yep. So
that as well, he's some man. Let's just slide in. I'll take that.
I think that you would imagine though that the intensity will be reduced a wee bit. Shackles will be off the players for the next couple of days. They'll maybe, I don't know, training the Thursday and Friday, and then it'll be into holiday mode after the last ball's kicked on Saturday.
But do you know what, actually, let's see what happens tomorrow with Dundee and Inverness, because if Inverness do manage to win tomorrow, you're not going to get a wee sort of lazy kick about up there in Inverness. They're going to go for it, and it could end up being a pretty game if it needs to be.
Yeah, I agree. I would kind of hope that would be it as well, because there's nothing worse than one of these kind of spectacles at the end of the season where there's nothing to play for. I know Inverness, regardless, will want to kind of go out with more than a whimper, which I think, to be fair, at times they have been quite disappointing in terms of the big games, the derby at the start of the split fixtures, where you would have thought they're doing right up for, they got absolutely demolished.
Yeah.
Then beat Aki's, but then got Kilmarnock and lose. So I think Richie Foran's found it very hard in his first season, but it was always going to be a huge ask. And after John Hughes has left, to be fair, it's been quite unstable there, and they've just not really managed to return or retain the success that they've had for so many years, because we quite often talk about Muddle punching above their weight. They have really done well to have such a sustained period in the top flight, given their rather poor support and their limited budget. So, yeah, fair play to them. I do like Inverness as a football club. It should be.
It's always a good away day.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be a good day on Saturday as well. There was a final point there that I had in my head and I've completely forgotten it. So I think that on that note, sorry, and I'm also must confess that we started recording for the first time and I started to choke and I've not really recovered from it since. So it seems like a good point to end a wee half an hour number just to go over the last couple of games. A bit unfortunate, mind you, that we've had such a short one in the back of possibly our best week of the season. So, in fact, definitely our best week of the season. So, apologies for that. But, unfortunately, this is the only time.
Yeah, we're accused of being monos. We should be delighted after two wins and we're like half an hour and gone, I can't say, nothing else to say, wrap it up.
There's loads to say, but to be fair, it's normally Jay who says it all, and he's in Croatia and he's pissed, so we can't really do much about that. Thank you very much for your time tonight, though, mate.
Yeah, no bother, thanks.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back at the beginning of next week for a recap of the 2016-17 season. Until then, thank you and goodbye.